Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm very excited to have Jeremy Shing with me. Hey, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeff. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. For anyone listening, the podcast before this one had a really, honestly, great conversation with Jeremy all about Jeremy's work and personal history. A really good one, by the way. You might be the first podcast guest who started their personal tale with watching a Laker game with your dad as a newborn.
I'm glad. I want that to be my tombstone.
You started with the Lakers and then you end up in film. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And so people should listen to that one. Just go to the podcast before this one. But this podcast, Jeremy is going to answer what we call the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are: name three films you love, name three favorite films, name an underrated film, name an overrated film, and name a lesser known film that people should seek out. But before I have Jeremy answer, I'm going to stop myself because I skipped the part where I mentioned that I met you because your film Fish played at Film Invasion Los Angeles in 2023, last year, won the Audience Award for Short Film Drama. It's one of my favorites. I absolutely love it. Love the creativity of it. And as we discussed, I'm a sucker for magical realism and just creativity in general. So Fish is a great film and people should check it out. So just go to watchtvhigh.com to check it out. I think that's you can just do a free trial and just watch Jeremy's film if you want. But anyway, that's the film Fish, which we won't be talking about because now we're just going to find out what you love about cinema and film. So you want to just jump right into that naming three favorites?
Yeah. And I currently have a tattoo for two of the three. I'm hoping to get a third sometime this year. But the three are Everything Everywhere All at Once, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and Blade Runner 2049. So all like very long titles that live in the sci-fi space. But yeah, all three of those films, I think, are pixel-perfect movies for my taste and have definitely shaped my worldview and how I want to tell stories.
I have to say that it's some wonderful work there. Man, I'm a huge fan of Everything Everywhere All at Once. I just love that film. I might be a bigger fan of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I mean, talk about amazing creativity. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's such an example of like either it's something I strive towards in my writing, or I just give up because I know I'll never make anything as good. It's just like that good.
Well, yeah, no reason to give up.
Yeah.
But, and then I'll joke that I am of the age that Blade Runner 2049, like, you know, I just,
yeah,
I got to revisit it because a lot of people I respect like it, but, oh, I really wanted to like it and I couldn't.
Yeah. I think I just have a sweet spot for Denis Villeneuve's like filmmaking sensibilities. I really appreciate like slow burn cinema. Yeah.
I mean, it was the first one of his films that I didn't love.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's because I was, you know, 11 when Blade Runner came out, so or 12. So, you know, like, I needed the story to be different. What can I say? So anyway, it's not about my opinions, but...
No, it is. It is. Like, there's a conversation. Yeah.
So you have an Eternal Sunshine tattoo?
Yeah, I have of Joel and Clementine, that famous shot of them laying in the ice. Yeah, I have it on my arm.
That is... I always want to mention whenever that film comes up that it is... might be the greatest love story ever told.
Yeah,
because It's the most original way to tell a love story, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you're speaking to the choir. Of course, I agree.
For sure. Well, not. I mean, it literally is. Love is so powerful.
Yeah.
We can't. Efforts to erase it will fail.
Yeah.
What's more romantic than that?
Yeah.
All right.
And it also feels like very grounded. It's not like an unrealistic portrayal of love. And I really like the ending of like, yeah, we're going to argue. Yeah, we're going to make mistakes, but it's still worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No. So, all right. Well, great list so far. I like the tattoo idea. By the way, I just have to joke. So many people have come on this podcast and said, oh, I can only name three. It's so hard. But you're like, I got tattoos for 2 out of 3. I mean, wasn't too hard for you to come up with your list. You just have to look at your arm. Yeah.
Well, it's because I also use like Letterboxd. So Letterboxd, you list your 4 favorite films. And when I was thinking about it, it did take a while. But now that I have the 4, like now I know. Yeah.
Oh, do you want to name your 4th just for fun?
Oh, yeah. The 4th. Well, it's like 4A, 4B. Like they're the same 4th ranking for me, depending on how I'm feeling that day. But it's either The Dark Knight or Inception, which I mean, it's the same filmmaker too. But both are perfect movies for me as well.
I'm with you, especially on Inception. I think that's an unbelievable achievement.
Yeah. Another example of something I strive for, or I should just give up because I'll never make anything as good.
You know, Mr. Nolan will never make anything as good. It feels that way sometimes. If he can keep moving forward, so can you. That's what I meant to say.
So Inception's your favorite movie of his?
I think so, yeah. It'd be a battle between that and Memento. Mm. But no, it's better. It's just and the story's just too amazing.
Yeah.
The way it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
That movie just does everything right for me.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. All right. Well, question 2 is a film that is underrated.
Yeah, I was looking it up before this interview and it has like terrible reviews, but I really like Comet, which is made by Sam Esmail, who did Mr. Robot. I think I have a huge soft spot for Sam Esmail, though, because Mr. Robot is probably my favorite TV show that I've ever seen. And he has a lot of, like, he made Comet before Mr. Robot, and I could see the inklings of his filmmaking voice in that film. Just the way that he uses the camera, the way he frames his actors, the way he uses music and cuts between scenes, it's just so interesting. And basically anything he makes, I'm tuning in.
Excellent. I gotta confess, I have not seen Comet.
Yeah, I feel like no one has. It's like super, like, if you told me that you saw Comet, I'd be surprised.
Gotcha. I mean, and I guess you're not surprised that I love Mr. Robot, and I wish there had been, you know, more seasons of it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, talk about a show where it's like it has so much substance and story, and then the message of the cherry on top, like the way the show explores mental health is so interesting too, and it never feels didactic. It's just so compelling.
Yeah, and I think, well, you make me want to revisit it.
Yeah.
But I got to watch Comet. Excellent. All right. Well, this one will be fun. A film that is overrated.
Yeah. If you do like this film, I would love to like hear your thoughts why. I think A Ghost Story is overrated for me. It has like 90 something on Rotten Tomatoes. It seems to be universally acclaimed, but it just was like too slow for me. And I'm not someone who gravitates towards action blockbusters. You know, I mentioned earlier, I love Denis Villeneuve's like slow burn cinema. So I can appreciate movies that take their time. But A Ghost Story literally has a scene of someone sitting down in the kitchen and then they're eating a piece of pie for 12 minutes. And it's a single shot. It doesn't cut away at all. She doesn't say anything and she's just eating the pie. And there's like comments online. It's like, this is the best scene in cinema. I'm like, how is this the best scene in cinema? She's literally just sitting there and eating pie for 12 minutes. I would also say, though, like A Ghost Story is an exploration of grief. And I mean, I was too young. When I was 9, my grandpa died, so I don't really remember that too much. Other than that, I haven't had a close family member die in my lifetime. Maybe if once I experience that, the movie will hit differently for me. But at the moment, I did not get the hype of that movie.
I wish I could help out, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, yeah. So I would love for you to watch it and then tell me what you think of that 12-minute one-shot scene of eating pie.
You almost make me want to bring up, I can't remember the name of the guy who directed, I think it was Drive. And
Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yes. And yeah. I just watched that TV series he did.
Was it Copenhagen Cowboy?
Or, no, the other one. The one with Miles Teller.
Yeah, Too Old to Die Young.
Too Old to Die Young.
Yeah.
Slow as molasses.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I love that.
Wait, like that even like supports my argument of why I don't like A Ghost Story. I love Nicholas Winding Refn so much. I've watched like basically everything he's done. Literally when I was doing the Seattle trip for the documentary I'm doing nonstop, I was just fanboying about him to my DP. So yeah, it's not because the movie is slow and I can't appreciate slow stuff. I definitely love slow stuff if it's done right.
Exactly. And it can be done right and it can be done wrong. And needless to say, I'm just going to assume based on all your other comments that you're right and A Ghost Story ain't worth my time. But maybe I'll watch it someday just to tell you that you're right. But
I'm so in the minority, though. It's like so universally, like the critics review and the average fan review is like very high. So I don't know.
Is it interesting? Well, I know as Too Old to Die Young had that car chase, which was two cars going the speed limit. For what felt like 5 to 10 minutes. And you just see the people in the cars just like checking their mirror, driving. All right. They're not speeding. I'm not speeding. We're just going to see who runs out. And I mean, it was so. Yeah. I just thought that was the most entertaining thing that I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. I'm into it. But like.
So original. Yeah.
I still can't get over a one shot of someone sitting down eating pie. That's it for 12 minutes. Like, come on. We can do better than that.
Well, now the funny, I'll try my best to forget that because I can see myself watching it and then laughing instead of with the film, laughing at the film because of what Jeremy said about the pie.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's a David Lynch reference, right? Because Lord knows Twin Peaks, it was all about the pie.
Mm. Yeah.
But you never had to sit and watch Kyle MacLachlan eat the pie for 10 minutes. It was literally like he would just talk about how great pie is.
Yeah. Zero dialogue. The camera doesn't move at all. It's just static for 12 minutes.
You know, I suppose it's brave to do things badly, but, you know, better be brave to be original. Well, anyway, I'll shut up. I shouldn't comment on a film I haven't seen. Last question is a lesser known film for people to seek out.
Let's see. Dang, I actually did not prepare for this. For this one, I didn't know this was one of the questions.
Oh, you didn't know? It was part of the little booking thing. But I might try to save you and just say, well, Comet kind of counts.
Oh yeah, Comet would definitely count. I feel like I haven't met a single person in my life who's seen that film, and I only watched it retroactively because I liked Mr. Robot so much. Yeah, I mean, I could open my letterbox and see what I have.
You could, but I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah, we'll just do comment.
You know, I mean, you named, obviously all your favorites were well-known films, but Comet and A Ghost Story are lesser known, so... But, you know, if you want, you can, you know... Well, anyway, we'll wrap it up. We're doing well. All right. Well, first of all, your Instagram will be a clickable link in the show notes. So people should go there and should follow you and see, you know, so that when all your new exciting work comes out, you know, my goodness, you're working on a documentary that's associated with PBS. People should listen to your interview to learn more about that. But I'm sure you'll be sharing updates on your Instagram about that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I will wrap this up by mentioning the things I'm supposed to. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Discover Indie Film podcast. If you want to learn more about it, go to discoverindiefilm.com. It's at DIFWINS on social media. There is a Amazon Prime Video series that is a selection of short films handpicked from the festival circuit named after this podcast. Of course, I think I might've broken the rule finally, and someone has a film in there that didn't do the podcast because they were too shy. But generally, the cool thing about that show is you can watch episodes and then go listen to the interview about the film, which is kind of cool. Heck, I know HBO keeps trying to do it. Every time I watch HBO, it's like,
oh, yeah,
for the podcast about this, I'm like,
yeah.
And then I watch it, and it's like, people who are like supporting characters talking about that day on set. And I'm like, no. If you don't have the creators of the show, don't waste my time. I guess I'm just stubborn. All right. So that's Discover Indie Film. By the way, if you want to be nice, like and subscribe and even write a review. What do you know? I was telling Jeremy earlier that I think over 200 people have done this podcast. And no guilt trip, but... Or no, straight up guilt trip. There's not 200 five-star reviews on the Apple Podcast app. So I don't know what's going on. People do the podcast. They say they have a great time. They don't even review it. No pressure on you, Jeremy. No pressure.
I feel the pressure and I will give the 5 stars.
All right. And I met Jeremy because his film Fish played at Film Invasion Los Angeles. We hold that every June. And you can learn more at filminvasionla.com. And it's at filminvasionla on social media. It has a sister festival every December. That's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. Same team, same, you know, just more films. That's shermanoaksff.com. And it's at shermanoaksff on social media. I think I mentioned that you can catch Fish if you go to watchtvhigh.com, which anyone who likes indie film should check out watchtvhigh.com. It's a smart TV app that's on all the smart TV platforms, except that one that Samsung made that I have that's exclusive to them. And, all right, I think we're good. Did I say all I'm supposed to? Like and subscribe? Sure. All right, Jeremy.
Thank you so much for this interview, Jeff. It was a great conversation.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you and get to know you better. See, that's why I do this. Yes. Why do you do this stuff? And the answer is, you know, in your probably 15-minute Q&A we did after your Fish screening, it was a great talk about Fish. But, you know, it's just 15 minutes. It's barely scratched the surface of how that film got made and why you wanted to make it. So now I know. And now the world knows. And knock on wood, you'll be the guy who 10 years from now, people are talking about your films like Denis Villeneuve, and they'll be able to go back and listen to this and go, you know, he was right about Comet. No, I mean, he was right about A Ghost Story. Yeah.
No one sent me death threats about A Ghost Story.
Please. No death threats. Isn't there an issue with Casey Affleck? Isn't he the people who's sort of getting canceled that now that people are finding out?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't follow that stuff anymore. I just kind of like, I get it. Everyone's a jerk. Not everyone. Not everyone's a jerk. All right, Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chad.
And thank you, everyone, for listening.